I know that it being New Year's Day, we our mind very conveniently gravitates to what the new year would hold. And we have the whole year stretched out before us. Some of us may go back to work tomorrow, and some of us may have another day off, I don't know. But whatever our work involves and whatever our lives include, 2017 is ahead of us. And I can remember as a young man thinking that the year 2000 was a long time off. And now it's history, been history for a long time. And there's been a lot of water under the bridge for me. A lot of events that have transpired in my life to bring us to the point that we are today. And I seem like when I stand in a place like this, whether it's at home or in a meeting, I feel like that we have such a short window of time to cover so much territory. And I feel like we got to present some kind of solution. That's my personality or my character. I just feel like that's the way to get things going in the right direction is, Lord, what kind of solution do you have for us to present this service? But I feel like the Lord has given me something a little bit different. As we look out into the year, some people make New Year's resolutions, and we know the track record of those. They're not very good most of the time. And I believe the Lord is there to help us and honor the commitments that we make to be closer to Him. I believe that He wants us to use the time that we have in this year that's ahead of us to be more like Him December the 31st, 2017, than we were December 31st, 2016. So, with the help of the Lord, I would like to present a little thought this morning that I hope will help us with a vision. I believe that one try to incorporate a couple things I feel like the Lord has blessed us with, and over the past this past year, some thoughts. It's been a real inspiration to me. I believe that the scripture, of course, we know tells us that without a vision, the people perish. And without a vision for the year ahead of us, I believe calamity is very certain. If you don't have a real vision of what you want the year to encompass and where you're headed, it's going to be difficult to stay on track. I'm more of a... I want my who I am. I like to try to anticipate what the next step is instead of just stepping out. So consequently, sometimes faith is there's a challenge there because of my personality. But I'd like to turn this morning to the 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, and we want to start with the first verse. Notice the Apostle Paul says here, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So I believe that just from reading that verse, we can anticipate the 15th chapter being including the things that Paul has already preached to them. He's already recounted this to them, and he says, I'm going to declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. You know, sometimes, as already mentioned in this service, it's good to have some things written down. And I like to encourage someone that comes to an altar of prayer and makes a commitment, whether it be for salvation or sanctification or whatever it is, I like to challenge them to go write it down somewheres. So when the devil contests them as to whether they really meant business or if it really happened, they can open up maybe the front page of their Bible and see that they wrote themselves a note that it really happened, and this was the day, all right? So Paul is writing the things down that he, I believe, had preached to them more or less. And I'd like to skip down to the 45th verse and begin reading here. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And if you'll allow me, I'm going to suggest that this first Adam was the Adam that lived in the Garden of Eden. And the last Adam he's talking about, I believe, is Christ. All right. He says, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So just notice the wording here. He says, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So let's pause here just a moment. Paul is saying this is part of the gospel, to recognize that those that are of this world are going to act like this world. All right? And those that are of the heavenly is going to display heavenly attributes and characteristics. All right? And he said, as we have borne the image of the earthy, and all of us here today have borne the image of the earthy. Every one of us have found ourselves in the place of being in violation of God's expectations. That's the image of the earthy. We know that the first Adam, when he fell, he became carnal man. And all of us have been carnal man. All right? So he said, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, I don't know what sensation comes over you when you read that verse, but that's what I want to try to get over to us today. When I read this verse, I get this vision in my mind of the gospel's perspective and the gospel's vision for you and I. The gospel's vision is that we would bear the image of the heavenly. It's acknowledging that every one of us have been in sin. Every one of us have been in violation of what God wants us to be. Every one of us have borne that image, and we know what it's like. Maybe some more than others, but we know what it's like to follow the path of carnality. And we know the discomfort. We know the empty bag syndrome that we heard about last night. We know what it's like to go down that path and not be satisfied and not be fulfilled with the image of the earthy. So the message of the gospel here is that just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And earlier there it said, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So there's a vision we need to get a hold of. The vision is that the gospel's expectation is that what we will be portraying and we will be conforming to is the image of the heavenly. It says, now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So it's imperative that we understand that no matter how good we might be, if we still have the image of the earthy, we're not going to inherit eternal life. So we must come to the realization, I must get it, the vision for the new year, the vision for my new year. I want to be more, we have a song, more like Christ, do we not? I want to be more like Christ. I want to have more of the image of the heavenly on display in my character. You could analyze my character probably and say, well, there's discrepancies here and discrepancies there, and there's things that's, here's a shortcoming and there's a shortcoming. But I want, at the end of the year, with the help of the Lord, and I believe He will help me, I believe He will help you, that I want there to be more of the image of the heavenly on display than the image of the earthly. Because the message of the gospel is that that's what He wants out of us. He wants us to be more like Christ. So I'd like to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter is probably one of my most favorite chapters in the scripture. I'd like to begin reading in verse 14, I believe. He says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is a personal cry. The word Abba implies or infers that this is a very personal attachment. It's not some kind of distant relationship, but a very personal relationship of God being our Father. And He says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right? If we are the children of God, that's heavenly, isn't it? And the message of the gospel is that we would portray the image of the heavenly. All right? So He says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. I'm so glad that we can be part of the family of God. Amen. Could someone lead us in a verse of that song? I'm so glad to be part of that family. I'm so glad that all of us can be part of that family. And you know, there's one thing about being part of a family, a biological family, is we have expectations about that. We have expectations that the children look like the parents, don't we? I don't know how much you think my sons look like me, but I think that it's an honor for children to look like their parents. And it's also something that they shouldn't be ashamed of. It ought to be, they ought to feel honored to look like their parents. And we should feel honored to begin to have the image of our Heavenly Father. Now, we're not all the biologically of the same family, but we can be spiritually all of the same family. And when we're all of the same family and we're part of the family of God, it's only natural for us to begin to expect that the image of the Father would start being portrayed. And I trust that your vision this morning is, I want to be more like my brother. I want to be more like my parents. I have another brother story. You know, the sibling rivalry is always a real element when you have more than one child. And it was very, probably pretty tense sometimes between my brother and I. And we were really small. I'm the older one. And I don't remember. He was annoying me somehow. I don't remember that circumstance. I just know that we were on the school bus, I believe, going to school. And I don't know if he was wanting to sit with me and I didn't want him to. I don't remember. I don't remember what that was. But I just told him that he wasn't really my brother. He had to be adopted. And he was small enough that it really troubled him. And I know that I got disciplined for it after I got home that day. But, you know, I used whatever leverage I could to make him feel like he didn't belong. And in reality, if you know both of us, I think we look alike today to some extent. And I know people confuse us on the telephone sometimes if they don't really know, you know, not used to talking to one of us. So there's no question in my mind, I know he's my brother. But at the time, it was just an element of power for me to try to twist on him a little bit at that time. But we ought to have a desire to look like our brother, to look like our father, to portray the image that Jesus would portray in the world around us. So I want us to look now to what Jesus said. I know sometimes it's hard to look up to an older brother. My brother had trouble with it, and I've seen this same thing happen in my own home. Younger brothers sometimes just don't like the idea. Sometimes big brothers try to lord it over them. I know that I was guilty of that, so maybe that helped that situation or hindered it. But I want to notice to what something that Jesus said. Remember, the scripture says that if we've been adopted a child of God, then we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And if you're a joint heir, that means you're a sibling. You're a brother. All right? So let's notice here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we'll begin in verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So my brother, the one that I want to look like, the one that I want to portray the same characteristics, he is teaching us to pray to God and recognize him as our Father. Now, I don't remember now. There's more than 10 times in this chapter that Jesus refers to God as Father. So it's imperative that we recognize God not only as the Creator, but as our Father. Remember, I want to be part of the family of God, and I want to be, I want to portray the image of the heavenly. So he says here, you pray, when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." There's something about calling your earthly father, Father. It's good to do that, just ever so often anyway. You can call him Daddy or something else, but it's just every once in a while, it's good to call him Father. It makes him feel like you really esteem him and honor him. There's just something about that word. I want us to kind of direct our thoughts now to the role of the Father. Remember, our objective is that we catch a vision of what it's like to portray the image of the heavenly. And we know that God and our brother, Jesus Christ, his Son, is heavenly. And we want to have their image portrayed in our lives. But I want us to shift just a little bit and start thinking about the role of God as the Father. And I want us to look at the words of a song that we have, "The Love of God," number 484. It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. No matter where the depths of degradation that you may have stooped to in your following after bearing the image of the earthy, God can reach down to that." All right? He says, "The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his Son to win. His erring child, that's you and I, he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints," that's us, "and angels' song. Lord, help us to get a hold of the picture, not only of bearing the image of the heavenly, but the image of God being our Father." Now, the image of a father and the role of a father has been under severe attack in our society. And when I think of what God's plan was for mankind and how he intended for Christ from way back there to time, and time is a big element for me, but way back from the time of Adam and Eve's fall in the garden, he intended for Jesus to come to pay the price for sin. Now, that's a long-range plan because it took a long time, thousands of years, before Jesus came. So, the love of God is greater far. A long-range plan. You know God has a long-range plan for all of us? His plan is that all of us would come to know him, and all of us would portray the image of the heavenly, and would communicate to those around us the image of the Father and the image of the Son. I know there's been times as a father that I have had desires for my children and they've resisted. They haven't really wanted to do what I wanted them to do. Sometimes it was noticeable, and sometimes it was probably just kind of disguised disgruntledness. They didn't really come out and verbally or resist me in my actions. They complied, but it really wasn't what they wanted to do. And I thought a little bit about, I wonder what it was like when God revealed the plan or the plan come into place for Jesus to come? I know this is very hypothetical, but do you think there was any arguments or any dissension about Jesus being willing? I'm going to read you scripture because I don't think there was. In John, the 8th chapter, I'd like to notice something here. John chapter 8, we're going to read verse 29. He says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." That's Jesus' words. And I believe that if he said, "I do always the things that please him," I believe that included all the way back to the beginning. I believe that he's willing. So, you know, just start putting this thing in our mind, in our calculations here this morning. We want to be I want to be adopted by God. I want to be a child of God. I want to be part of that family. And am I willing to be like my older brother? Am I willing to be like Jesus and do always the will of the Father? It's part of the requirements. It's a prerequisite for us to be able to portray the image of the heavenly. Now I want us to think about what it means to be a real father. Like I said, a real father is under attack, has been under attack. We have a lot of distorted perspectives out there. I don't believe that a real father should ever be intimidated about stepping into their children's lives. And I'm talking about while they're at home. I'm not talking after they become fathers themselves or mothers or whatever. But I'm talking about while they're in my house. I don't feel like a father should ever be intimidated about stepping right in the middle of their lives and saying, "That's not the way we're going to do it around here. That you're going to have to make an adjustment." And you know why I believe that? Because here's what I've found with my Heavenly Father. When I do something that's getting on the borders of displeasing him, you know what happens? He doesn't wait till I say, "Oops, I messed up." He pricks my conscience. He deals with me right then. So I want to tell you, in the fear of the Lord, if you're a father here today, don't be intimidated about stepping right in and saying, "Child, that's not wise." And you're going to have to make some changes. You know, I'm your daddy. And I'm looking out. I have a long-term goal for you. And I want you to be a wholesome young lady, or I want you to be a wholesome young man. And this activity that you're leaning towards is not going to cut it. Don't be waiting for an opportunity for them to feel like they need to come and ask for counsel. You're the father. You're the father. So step right in there. That's what it means to be a real father. To be a real father means to, you need to set the bar for achievement. You need to set the gauge. This is how high you need to jump. This is how high, this is what you need to reach for. And Jesus set the bar pretty high, didn't he? I'd like to notice the last verse of the 5th chapter of Matthew. And I want you to please don't get discouraged with the directness of maybe some of this thought. But Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Jesus, remember, is our sibling in the Lord if we're part of the family of God. But he's also my Savior. I'm thankful for the times that older siblings have rescued the younger ones. And they have many times. in our temporal affairs. I notice here in 5:48, Jesus says to us, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." I'm going to tell you, that's a high bar. And as an earthly father, set the bar. You know, if you have a child that you say, "Here's what my expectations are," and they say, "Oh, I'll do the best I can," you probably need to reinforce something there and tell them, "No, we're not doing just the best you can. This is what has to be done." All right? So don't try to just accept, don't be willing as a father to just accept mediocrity. All right? If you can't, if there's something that they just can't do, then see that the job gets done. There's things that's very crucial. You know, since I'm a mechanic, I'll just tell you, there are times that you cannot drop a little nut down in a hole. You just can't do that. And if I've got one of my sons doing something, and I say, "Now look, we can't drop a nut down in the hole." And he says, "Well, I'll do the best I can." I say, "No, you didn't understand. I said, we cannot drop it down in that hole. Because what would happen is it either entail a lot more disassembly." I've done some things before. I know what I'm talking about. I've dropped a pin light down in a hole, and then you try to wonder how I'm going to fish that thing out of there. You know, you have whatever it takes to take the precautions to not mess up, you see. There's some things that you just cannot afford messing up on. And God says, we're going to have to reach His bar. We want to portray the image of the heavenly. And He's going to help us. He may sometimes it may take some extra effort to meet His expectations. If you've been around this trade, you know there's a lot of special tools that's involved sometimes. And I can't believe there was one engine I've worked on that the manufacturer has all kinds of special tools. But when you do almost anything to it, you have to pull what we call an intake manifold off. And when you do, there's a gapping hole on each side. So you pull this intake off, there's a gapping hole over here, there's one over there. And then anything else I do, I'm working up here on top, and those holes are just like big funnels to me. And I'm thinking, why didn't they issue a special tool to cover those while I'm doing other tasks in there? So it troubled me so much that I went and got a piece of steel and cut out the shape of the hole and drilled the hole. So now I have a tool. I took the time to make a safety plate for myself. So when I'm working on that, I take that manifold off, and the first thing I do is I put my little safety plates on there and thread the bolts in. And then if I rake off a bolt somewheres and it goes bouncing down into the engine somewheres, I know it didn't go in that hole. So I know when we read a scripture that says, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." I know that sounds like an unachievable goal and bar. But He's expecting us to have perfection in our heart toward Him. And He's expecting us to take whatever precautions we have and whatever we have to do to put ourselves in a place where we can have a perfect heart. You got trouble viewing things that you shouldn't view, then take the precaution to get rid of the viewing thing. You know, if you got a problem the viewing things on a smartphone, they still make flip phones. You can get rid of that thing. You're going to have to put a safety net. You're going to have to take the precautions it takes to have a perfect heart with the Lord. I don't know what else to tell us, but see, earthly father, you know, maybe you come into contact with something in your child and you say, look, maybe it's time that you go back in technology and just use something that's not quite so advanced, because I'm your daddy and I'm trying to help you. Sometimes you have to wade in and set the bar. All right? That's being a father. God does that for us. And we ought to do it for our own children. The next thing I put down here is show them how it's done. Live it before them. I don't remember what we were doing, but all of my sons are as tall or taller than me, and some of them are bigger than me, and so it's not like they're four anymore. But we were doing something, and I said, now look, you're going to have to watch real closely. I want to make sure you understand what I'm doing. So he got so enthused at seeing what I was doing, he was between me and what I was doing. And I couldn't do it. And I said, I know you want to see, and I want you to see, but you're going to have to back up just a little bit. Now, I want us to be that enthused about learning from our Heavenly Father. He's willing to show us. He's willing to take the time. And if we don't get it the first time, He's willing to show us again. I'll tell you some counsel I give someone that feels like the Lord has led them to do something, maybe in a calling or something. And I told him, I said, if it's from the Lord, He'll tell you again. If the Lord is leading you to do something that's out of your comfort zone, you don't have to feel like you're an utter failure because you didn't respond just like that. I'm going to tell you, if the Lord is wanting something out of you, He'll come by and remind you, it's me again. This is what I want out of you. And you know, earthly fathers, we must do the same thing. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're fixing an automobile or a leak under the sink. Take your little ones with you. And the big ones too. And when you're trying to do something, you know, it's a lot easier to just worm under the sink without them. But if they want to get in there and get dripped on, show them how it's done. That's part, and it transfers over into our spiritual life. My enthusiasm for wanting to read came from my father reading to me. I didn't wait to learn to want to read. I imagine I could probably read a few words anyway when I went to school. Why? Because my parents read me Bible stories and read other little books to me. Have a little book at the house that was one of my favorite books when I was a small child. And it was about Matt and Jeff. And they built a fort, and they started with two boards and nailed it together with 39 nails. And I read that book over and over again, so much that the cover is completely gone now. All I have is the pages in between, but I still got it. You know, when we show them our enthusiasm for the things of the Lord, yes, we're teaching them something. And our Heavenly Father, this is being a father now. Show them how it's done. When it comes time to get ready for service, fathers, you be the one that says, it's time to go. Let's get in the car. We've got to be in service in however many minutes. We're going to be late if we don't leave now. Show them by example. Correct them when they're wrong. And praise them when they do something right. You can't do one without the other. And sometimes correction has to be pretty firm. And sometimes correction has to be pretty dramatic. And then when they do something right, let them know how much you appreciate it. And let them know how much you recognize the effort they put into it. We're talking about being a father. That's what God does to us. And I want you to get that in your vision of being able to portray the image of the heavenly. God's going to work with you like a father. And if we didn't have an earthly father, sometimes it's kind of hard to get a hold of when we read a scripture that shows us the bar that God wants us to attain. If we didn't have an earthly father that says that won't do. When he tells you to go out and cut the grass in the dark. Because you didn't do it while the light was on. We'll think God's unreasonable, but he's not. He's just being a father. He knows what you're made out of. You know, the scripture talks about discipline over there in Proverbs, and it says if you discipline them, what will it do? It won't kill them, I don't think. Isn't that what it says? All right. So discipline's important. Raising the bar to work. You know, they need to be able to know they did something that's significant. If you just let them get along with just half-hearted things, they'll get out there in life and think that half-hearted effort will get them the good job. But you can't do that. And God won't do that with us either. He wants us to go to heaven. And he won't accept us if we don't meet his expectations. So consequently, he's going to deal with me like a father. And I hope that your perspective and your vision for 2017 is that I want to embrace I want to look like my father. I want to look like Jesus. Not physically. I don't know what we could portray as physical looks in that, but we want to have the characteristics. We want the image of the heavenly to be portrayed. I'd like to turn now to maybe John, the 14th chapter, and just try to reinforce this image of the heavenly. John 14, beginning in verse 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So what's Jesus saying? If you really know me, then you know the Father. So what are we're talking about they're portraying the same image. And when we as earthly fathers tell them, look, this is not going to make it in the real world. When you tell them, you got to get your grades up. You got to do better than that. Average won't take you anywhere in life. You got to be above average. You've got to hone some skills here. You've got to be able to be outstanding in something. And God wants us to be outstanding in this world. He wants us to portray his image in the world that's around us. It's so easy to portray the image of the earthy, isn't it? It's so easy to fall into that trap of conforming to what's around us. Sometimes it's in our outward appearance. Sometimes it's in our actions. Sometimes it's in the words that we say. It's so easy to fall into that. But Lord, help me to catch a vision for 2017 to portray the image of the heavenly. And when those temptations come along to maybe change my wardrobe to where I look more like the world, I'll say, no, that's not what my Father wants me to look like. And when that temptation comes along to use some vocabulary that's maybe hip, we'll say, no, that's not what the Lord would be happy with. And if there's something that comes along that is an action or body language that's out there, that's a real communication area in our world today. Lord, I know that's not like you. I'm not going to succumb to that. Amen. Listen to the prompting of the Father. When the Father steps right in the middle of your life and says, you're not going to do that, accept it. Amen. Jesus said, what? I do always the will of my Father. You know, that'd be an incredible testimony at the end of this year. To say, I have done the will of my Heavenly Father all year long. You know how we're going to be able to do that? We're going to have a vision. We're going to have the grace of God every day. We're going to have to seek His face and say, Lord, help me today. I want to portray the image of the Heavenly. I'd like to turn to 1 John. Have a couple more verses here. 1 John, the second chapter. And notice two verses that you're very familiar with. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's pretty direct, isn't it? It says, love not the world. That's the image of the earthy. He says, don't love that, neither the things that are in the world. There's so much of the image of the earthy that's all around us. And he says, if any man love the world, this is very direct, the love of the Father is not in him. So we're not really being part of the family of God if we have the love of the world in us. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if it's not of the Father, it's not going to portray the image of the heavenly, is it? So Lord, help us to conform to the image of the heavenly and cast aside the love of the world. He says in Matthew chapter 7. And we'll bring this to a close. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a serious thought. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it. And the question is, do I have the vision to make it? Am I going to make it? If my time comes up before the end of 2017, will I make it? It says, not everyone that saith unto me. These are Jesus' words. That's the Son of God. That's the one that we should be a joint heir with. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But, now these are the ones that will make it. But, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And what did Jesus say? I do always the will of my Father. So I want to challenge you this morning to have a vision of the heavenly things. And have an objective. I need objectives. Sometimes we can get caught in the whirlwind of life and we kind of wonder, well, what should I do first? Sometimes it helps to stop and say, well, what should be my objective? I'm talking about temporal things. What is the thing that I really need to focus on and accomplish? So this morning I want to ask you to just stop wherever you are in your spiritual life. Think about what you've heard in the meeting. Think about the year that's ahead and ask yourself, do I really want to portray the image of the heavenly? Do you have that vision this morning? Jesus said, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, are going to be the ones that make it in. I want to be one of those, and I believe I can. I believe you can with the help of the Lord. May the Lord bless us all this year, that it'll be a success spiritually for everyone here. Pray for me.